Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right, welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. And if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
I live in Lindsay, Oklahoma. I own an oil and gas company, pipeline company.
Awesome.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just curious, like, you know, oil and gas company, right? So I think that many people, it can mean lots of different things that many people don't even understand, like, it's like what that means, right? So can you just like give an example about your business, like who your ideal customer is, like what a typical day looks like for you?
Well, I don't really have a customer. The ideal day for us is if things don't go wrong. I own the wells that you see out in the fields and the pastures, the tanks, the pumping units, the well heads. We own that. I own a production company, and we produce oil and we produce gas, and we sell it to some of the big guys like One Oak, Phillips 66, Coffeyville. That's who we sell our oil to, is Coffeyville right now. And we just try to make it, you know. So when oil and gas is down, we struggle. When it's up, then, you know, it's a party. Not really a party. It's still a struggle, but it's just what we do.
So essentially that you own fields, and then you have a company where people come out and then they're producing oil for the top oil companies in America.
Yeah, I'm like a grain of sand. My company's like a grain of sand in the oil and gas business, but we produce some oil and some gas, and we sell it to the major pipelines or refineries. And so that's my little niche is I bought wells off the bigger companies, and my little niche has allowed me to make a living buying wells off of them and keeping them going, you know, no overhead, streamline. Right. Yes. So that's what we do.
But I guess, like, what would you say, right? I mean, obviously, like you mentioned, price of oil and gas can be a challenge. But I guess, like, besides that fluctuation, like, what are some of the big challenges that you face day to day?
It's like today. I bet I've had 15 calls on, my ZD SCADA. That's the weather has gotten colder and it's damp and the compressors don't want to run, things change. And so what we have to do is we have to go out and fix it, but we have to do it mostly on a daily basis. There's always something, especially when the weather changes. You might have a week where things go good and nothing happens, and we're just checking the wells normally, but it's very rare that, you know, you have over a week that, because anything changes, you know, there it's like a young woman, they change their mind every day. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's hard. The whole business is hard, and
for
so
sure.
We have to go out like on the rods. We have to pull the rods out of the hole to get to the pump that pumps the oil up and out of the well into the stock tanks, those big round tanks you see out and about. Most people probably have not ever paid attention to it, but that's where the production goes. That's what we call production. And then the gas is divided from in a what we call a separator, it'd be a 2 or 3 phase separator. And a separator is a 2 phase usually, where the fluid goes one way and the gas goes the other. And then what we have is another thing that we have on location is called a heat retriever, and it's a 3 phase separator. Oil and water production goes to, the oil goes to the production tanks, the water goes to the saltwater tanks, and then the gas goes to the sales line. But there's just so many little bitty things that can happen. And most people don't understand them, but they're hard. It's hard business.
For sure. So I guess, obviously, like you mentioned, it's a hard business. And, you know, it's like, how do you find good staff? Like, do you have many people that work for you for a long time, or do you have lots of turnover?
Well, it depends on what area that you're working in. I find good staff by, I know so many people, they want to come to work for me. And I tell them, if you come to work for me, you come to work for life. But in reality, most people want that. You know, they'll give up a little bit of wages to work for me so that they know they're going to have a job forever. And so the guys that I've employed, you know, I've had them years and years and years because I'm, you know, we work together as a family, because that's what this is. You know, it's a little small family business. And so the other guys, you know, that they're so big, And you probably see it. Everybody sees it from time to time where the big guys sell this field and they buy this field and they merge and this and that. And, well, oil went down, so we're going to have to cut 1,500 employees and this and that. Well, when oil goes down, I quit taking a paycheck. And then I figured out. I figured out. And so
That's
I don't.
amazing. So you're saying that essentially that you're, you know, I guess like a smaller kind of family business, and you're able to keep, you know, people around, you know, because like, yeah, it's different, right? Like you are very heavily involved. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm right there with them. You know, when you take a CEO of say Continental or something like that, they have no telling how many people that are under them. The CEO now, Harold Hamm, I think, he probably rarely goes to the field. You know, I mean, I don't know if the insurance company would even let him leave the office, to be honest, because, you know, Fred, something would happen. But for me, I'm out in the field all the time. I'm the relief pumper. I'm the roustabout. I'm, you know, geologist. I'm everything. Engineer, you know. I just got through working on a saltwater disposal. And most people have people on staff that have degrees and have done this stuff. But, you know, I got it through and approved all by myself. And I do most everything by myself. I read the logs by myself. I just do a lot of it by myself. Now, the day-to-day work, that's where the pumpers come in, my employees. They do the everyday stuff. But when they can't make it or they're sick or they need to go on vacation, then I fill in. Like I said, we're a small company. I have probably 12 employees.
Okay.
So we're not very big.
Yeah, I guess like from year to year, you know, do you look at scalability or is it more so like you're like, okay, like let's just keep things consistent because you only have so much bandwidth, and also sort of, as you mentioned earlier, that certain things are out of your control when it comes to oil prices, for example.
That's a good question. I guess I'm a gambler because if I find something that I think I can make better, I'll buy it, I'll beg, borrow, and I've done that a million times from the bank. It's just been me and the bank. And if I think I can find a property that I know I can do something with, or a big part, you know, like I just bought some stuff in Seminole County and it was 12, 15 wells. And I really, really wanted them. Now, I really, really don't know if, you know, how well that's going to play out, but I just go after it. You know, I don't know if I'm a gambler, I guess, as far as oil and gas wells, but I fix them. Usually I'll fix them and increase the production. And
right.
And I have grown so big before that, and I've just had to, last year I had to sell some wells. It's wells I just never could. I knew I was never going to be able to touch because I didn't have the money, didn't have the staff, didn't have everything. And so I sold some wells to some people that I knew that I think I could have fixed, but I just didn't have time to get to them.
For sure. It's only so much time in the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when, you know, like for me, when I have to meet with the corporation commissioners. I have to meet with everybody, landowners, you know, they call me, you know, they know me. I'm the end of the buck stops with me. And so that's just how it's been for all my life. And
for sure.
Do I like it? No. You know, I've had burnout 4 or 5 times where I don't want to do this no more. This is not fun anymore. I don't want to play this game anymore. I owe too much money. You know, I don't want to do this no more. So I'd stay at the house for a day or two. And I'd think, well, it's not going to get itself paid for, and we're not going to get anything accomplished sitting at the house. And so I'd go back to work.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense.
That was my remedy. That was, what do you call it? My, where you pay to go see somebody. I just did it myself, seeing myself instead of psychiatrist.
For sure.
I just needed a break, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, it happens, right? I think it's like the most successful people that they just go 100%. And then it goes 0%. It's like kind of like those like spurts, you know, like sprints, right? When you're done sprinting, you got to take a break. So,
that's what I've done. I mean, all my life, but you know, I didn't want to be poor anymore. You know, I was poor when I was a kid. There was 7 of us in a family. Dad was an alcoholic. Mom was a single homemaker. And, you know, did we have stuff? We had the needs, or we had, yeah, the needs, but just barely. And, you know, I seen all my friends on the playground and around me that had more. And I just told myself I wanted more. I didn't want to be poor anymore. I didn't want to, you know, kids would come out on the playground and pull one of their shirt sleeves up. You know, look, Curtis, my mom made my shirt too, you know, and I dealt with that. And of course, I had brothers. So I dealt with that pretty easy. You know, they would leave. with a bloody nose or something. But, you know, I just didn't want to do that. It wasn't fun. I mean, don't get me wrong. My childhood life was okay. It was fun. Glad for the experience. But, you know, some of the things I wasn't able to have till I got my first son. When I had my first son, then I bought him the toys that I didn't.
So I guess I'm curious, right? Because I know that, you know, we're always curious about like technology and like, mm-hmm. What role does it play in your business? And if not, like, you know, do you see maybe things like AI helping your business out in the next like year or so?
Well, I think that's what's changed our business. You know, like I've told people, you know, the business I have is an old plan. You know, we drill or I buy vertical wells, and the business that's out there now is horizontal drilling. And now they can take, you know, a lot of money, but they can drill 15,000 feet out or farther. And they hit home runs, you know, to where that same well for me might be 50, 100 barrels. They're going to bring in 3,000, you know, 3,500 barrels of oil. So technology has definitely played a part in redesigning what we do here in the oil and gas business. Another thing is what they call telemetry. You know, they have everything up set up in a tank battery that, you know, you don't even hardly have to go there. You know, you can look on the computer and see everything and look at the gauges without even leaving the office. Now, has that been great? Oh, been really great, but it's also been a problem sometimes because I had another company call me up, hey, Curtis, man, we can't keep this one well running. And it was a horizontal well. Can you go up there? Well, I charge a pretty good fee to go do anything. I even had a company from Australia call me the other day. But anyhow, so I went up there and looked at this well. It was all on telemetry and everything. And I was talking to him and, you know, trying to figure out what's going on with this well. And I seen a truck pull in, a vacuum truck. And I said, what's this guy doing here? He said, well, he's come to haul the water. I said, well, how much water does this well make? And he said, it makes about 600 barrels a day, 800. And I said, y'all have one saltwater tank? He said, yeah. I said, there's your problem. I said, it's knocking the kill switch down where it's shutting the wellhead in. I said, that's why you're not producing like you should. It's killing the well every. Well, we didn't know what that was. I said, put you another stock tank on here, saltwater tank, maybe three, maybe four. I said, put some more saltwater tanks on here. You'll never have to worry about that problem. I said, because, you know, a driver, they don't want to work just wham, bam, work as hard as they can. They'll stop at the, you know, convenience store and this and that to get a soda pop, or sometimes they might get sick, or sometimes the company may not have one for this specific lease. I said, so you're going to have three or four times the daily production in order to stay out of problems. And they did, and I haven't heard from them since. I guess it worked. I mean, it's just the simple things. Those kind of things I don't have, I can't afford. You know, when you talk about AI and technology,
right.
You know, I mean, they're drilling with, they're trying to develop new technology with new drilling techniques. Like, you know how you have a microwave oven? They're trying to drill with microwaves, trying to soften the earth up where they can just move it out of the way. And I don't know if that's going to be successful, you know, but there's lots and lots and lots of smart guys out there that are way smarter than me. I'm just lucky, you know. They've reinvented the oil field. And my brother, he's even called me a dinosaur. Why do you keep messing with these vertical wells? It's because this is what I know. This is, you know, this is all I know.
Well, like, what would you say is like the one biggest advice that you wish you knew before you got started in your business?
Biggest thing is just remember to focus. Focus, you know, I mean, because it's very easy when things are going good and, you know, everybody knows this is an up and down cycle, but you have to focus and you have to pay attention to the small things, but keep your focus on what you're doing, the end of the game. I mean, keep your focus on what do I want, you know, and what I wanted, even when I was in fifth grade, when I got up in front of the school, the classroom, and I told them I was going to be an oil man, I'm going to own an oil company. And they all laughed at me because they were going to be attorneys and engineers and policemen. And I told them I was going to own an oil company. And they, you know, back then we had companies like Texaco and Mobil. And those were the kids that were out in the audience that were there. They were their kids back then because we didn't have any Streamlines or Chesapeakes or Continentals back then. And when I got up and said, I'm going to own an oil company, they all laughed at me. But what got me through it was focus and paying attention. You know, like my dad would always tell me, keep my trap shut and pay attention, you know, because the smallest details can help you out of the biggest binds. And so that's what I've done. You know, it allowed me to sit with some of those companies and visit with them and pick their brain. And when people call me, and they call me quite a bit for problems and this and that, I answer them because I've called somebody when I was doing a lot of it. You know, you just don't know all this, but focus and pay attention. I know that's two things, but focus on the goal and pay attention to what you're doing. And don't just, you know, if you want to be successful, you can't just blow it off. You have to know what you're doing. And I guess that's in everything.
For sure. So if somebody watching this wants to reach out to you, do you mind sharing your website or social media? I guess best ways to get in contact with you?
Well, the best way to get in contact with me, it's hard. It's usually my phone number, but it rings all the time. I'll be honest with you. I write books. I'm also the world's largest Twas the Night Before Christmas book collectors. And so all they have to do is Google J. Curtis Smith, initial J. James is my first name. J. Curtis Smith, and I pop up all over the world. So I don't hide from nobody. But usually the people that I know, you know, that need help or something, they're on LinkedIn. I've also, and I don't know if I can add this to your little pod, I don't know. I've invented some stuff for the oil field. I'm trying to get some of it made, and not that it's going to be the, you know, barn burning invention of the oil and gas field, but it's going to be neat. It's something needed. The things that I've invented have been needed. And I just don't think we're going to be able to be through with vertical wells. I think vertical wells will be here for as long as horizontal wells. Horizontals will be the big game and vertical will be the little. And there's always going to be a starting point for people. And so,
for sure.
But like I said, where they can get a hold of me is just they can LinkedIn me. I don't know if that's a word, LinkedIn me, or they can, you know, Google my name, or, you know, just come find me in my office usually.
Awesome. Well, Curtis, thank you so much for your time today. We're rooting for you to have a very successful 2024.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you having me on, and I appreciate everything everybody does for me. Thank you very much.
Of course. Thank you. All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.